just going to pray for us. But especially if you're in that place tonight, and I want us just to ask while I'm going to pray for us, just to, as Matthew shared, that God would just fill us up, just bring us back to that place of intimacy. But always when we connect with God, when we come closer to Him, He always commissions us. And mostly He commissions us just to a place of being with Him, like Matthew explained, where we're just intimate with Him. And so I'm going to pray for us that God would fill us up, some of us that are feeling in that dry place, and disconnected from God. But I want us to ask God, ask the Holy Spirit, what must I do? What is the action? Where are you calling me to? And even make commitments right now while God is here. You know, sometimes when we leave this place, you know, we think back of the worries and the anxieties and stuff that we're focusing on, relationship or whatever the case might be. But we forget sometimes what the Holy Spirit does. So right now, make commitments in your heart. Say, God, I'm going to connect with you. I'm going to wake up every morning, or I'm going to connect with you in this way, or whatever God will speak to you. So Father, I just pray for every person right now. Thank you that God, we are your sheep, God, and you are our shepherd. And Father, you lead us into quiet places. You lead us into green pastures. You lead us into paths of peace, God. And so Father, I pray for every person here right now, under the sound of my voice, that they would be filled. I want you just to respond, if that's you tonight. Just stretch out your hands to heaven. Say, God, fill me. God, speak to me. God, direct me. So, Father, I just release a blessing over every hand that is raised to heaven. Even as God, your word says, you will rend the heavens and you will come down. Thank you that for open heavens, God. Thank you, God, for where there were places of blockages, places of separation. We thank you for openings now. Thank you, Father, for us to disconnect. You are not far, Lord. You are Emmanuel, the God that pursues us, the God that comes near, the God that is near. And so, Father, this afternoon, this evening, we thank you. We give you glory. We praise your name, Jesus. We say, be lifted high. You draw us to yourself, and as you draw all men unto yourself, thank you, Jesus. Strengthen us, God. Strengthen every heart. Father, as we say, we strengthen the feeble knees so that which is lame may be healed. Thank you for healing, God. Thank you that you heal your people. Thank you that you restore your people. In Jesus' name. All God's people say, you may have your seats. Thanks very much. Good afternoon, everyone. After this morning's supporting the runners, I felt inspired. And so I went for a run. And I think I pushed myself a bit far. So if I go a bit slow, it's because I went fast earlier. And so I might drink a lot of water. Excuse me for that. My name's Reino, if we haven't met. We are at the end of our relationship week, so we're finishing off tonight, and very excited for tonight. Like I said, my name's Reino. The Lord has blessed me with a beautiful wife, Lihana, and I've got two beautiful kids as well, even Aiden and Malaya. And so I want to jump right in there tonight, and I want us to leave some space to just pray and let the Holy Spirit minister to us a bit later. But I've titled the message tonight, Together Forever, almost. And so it's for, you know, tonight I'm sharing mainly on marriage, and we're going to talk practically about marriage. But obviously it's for people that have been married, that are married, and that want to get married at whatever stage. I'm seeing some excited people here in front, hey? Big smiles. Now some of them are pointing to the other one. You know, they're like. So you've heard it say that it's not about the destination, but it's about the journey, right? And so tonight I want to say, it's firstly about the destination, then it's about the journey, and it's going to make sense a bit later. But firstly, I said in brackets, together forever, almost, because because I don't know if you knew, but we're not going to get married in heaven, right? We're going to be married to Jesus. He's coming back for his church. Yes, some excited people here. Some people think it's, some married people are disappointed. They're like, oh, I thought it was forever. It's only till Jesus comes back, then we'll really be married. Then we really know what it's about to be married. So, I'll get back to that first statement. It's firstly about the destination, and then it's about the journey. Now, I'm going to start at the end, not the end of marriage, but the end of dating or engagement, the wedding day. And everyone always wants to talk about the wedding day. So we'll start at the end, right? We'll start at the wedding day. And so I need two props quickly. And I'm going to choose my two props. Donovan and Ilana, if you guys can please come forward. I didn't brief them about this, but I know they're game. They're just like a very cool couple, right? You know, the other couples, you've got some other cool stuff going for you. You know, some pretty couples, but they like the cool couple, right? Okay. So we've done this before, guys. I want to ask us to do it again, if you guys don't mind. So we're going to do what we did on your wedding day. We're going to do the vows. Right. Okay. So you guys are getting like special treatment tonight. You're going to get the opportunity to redo the vows. Is that all right? Are you guys game for it? Okay. Now, turn to Lana and look her in the eye. Okay, but this is just like a serious moment. Okay, Dono, will you say after me? Or can you still remember the vows? Or part? Not? Okay. I just wanted to check that. So I, Donovan, take you, Ilana, to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold. From this day forward, in prosperity and adversity, in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, and to honor in the Lord. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God, till death do us apart. According to God's holy law, and this is my solemn vow. Thanks, Donna. Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna have to do Ilana now. Okay, let's. So I, Ilana, take you, Donovan, to be my wedded husband. I almost said wedded wife. To be my wedded husband, to have and to hold, from this day forward, in prosperity and adversity, in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, and to honor in the Lord. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God, till death do us part. According to God's holy law, and this is my solemn vow. And now you make Kiss the Bride. That's just a joke. You guys can have your seats. Thanks, guys. That was really awesome. Donovan can kiss the bride after the service. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. It was really awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And so that's the end of dating. That's the end of engagement. That's, you know, the goal in which we go about things. And so you would agree with me if you listen to what they said and what we read just now, it's pretty deep stuff, right? The sort of things that they said. Did you guys pay attention, or did you like just look at the eyes? Hey, are the, you know, the love is there and all. But it's pretty deep stuff. The commitments that are making, it's like really heavy, and heavy in a good sense, but it's not shallow. And I think it's important that we realize, oh, thanks that it's up on the screen now. But it's really deep stuff. And so I want to say that if you have a shallow relationship, it's not going to last. I think that's pretty obvious, right? It's not necessarily obvious to the world. But if you start off shallow, you won't end in very far. And so this is really deep. And of course, you can say these things to one another on a wedding day and not really mean it. You can sort of just go through it. But if you really mean it and you really keep to it, and we're going to look at some points of the wedding ceremony, you will stay together forever, or almost forever. All right. So I'm going to do something, another practical. I'm going to read you some lyrics of a song. Okay. Now I'm going to move into the secular space for a moment. Okay. And so I'm going to read through the lyrics. If you get you've got the title, or if you get the chorus of the song as I'm reading it, quickly put up your hand. There's a chocolate up for grabs. Okay. Game on, says Megan. Andre, go for it. Okay. Okay, so this is like parental guidance needed. So okay. Where do I start? Okay. So when I need motivation. Oh my goodness. Okay, Nyasha? Oh my goodness. Claire was also. Claire, what? Were you going to say the same, Claire?
Yes.
Oh, shucks. Only after. Okay, so Nyasha, you get the chocolate. Okay. Now, you guys need to stand. You need to stand now. Right? You need to stand for like the rest of the service as your punishment for knowing that song. Only if you like the song. You know, if you're like, no, I don't like it, but I know the words, then you can, okay, you guys are, you're safe. Okay, but I was really not expecting it on the first line. So I'm going to have to read through the rest of it. But I want you to listen to the words. I think so often we listen to words, songs, and they're like very cool tunes. But we like so into the song, we forget to listen what the people are saying. Listen to this. When I need motivation, my one solution is my queen. Because she stays strong. She's always in my corner, right there where I want her. All these other girls are tempting, but I'm empty when you're gone. And then they say, do you need me? Do you think I'm pretty? Do you think, you never thought you're going to hear that in church, right? Do I make you feel like I'm cheating? And I'm like, no, not really, because, I think that I found myself a cheerleader. She's always right there when I need her. Let's go on to the next verse. She walks like a model. She grants my wishes like a genie in a bottle. Because I'm the wizard of love. And all the other girls are tempting. I think we read that line. But I'm empty when you're gone. So now everyone knows what the song is. Victor wants to stop dancing.
When I need motivation, my one solution is my queen, cause she stays strong.
Stop it.
She is always in my car.
I guess it's a very catchy tune. Who agrees with me? It's quite a catchy tune. And so the tune catches us sometimes. And we're not listening to what it's actually saying. Go and listen to some of the popular songs that you're listening to that are secular. Neil's going like, oh my word. This is like very tame compared to some of the other songs. But one thing I want to just quickly touch on. By the way, you know, the catchy tune, it's really, really good. The music, musically excellent. I believe, you know, there's a philosophy behind that song. And the philosophy has been communicated to, like, the masses. Like, if you go to YouTube, there's 620 million views. I mean, that's few for some of the songs. But so it's being communicated to the masses. I believe this is, like, just a side note. But I believe, you know, we've obviously got the true message. We must really trust the Lord for the anointing and the songs and the excellence to bring the right message into the world. That's, like, just a side note. Is anyone agreeing with me? Or, like, yes, okay. But let's, like, trust the Lord for, like, yeah, for it to happen. So the writers of songs, you need to write songs. Not just for the church, but for out there in the world. Any case, my point was, this last line, all these other girls are tempting, but I'm empty when you're gone. Okay, two things. Does anyone see, like, a false expectation there? Okay. Ladies, what do you think of that if a guy would talk to you like that? Eh? You wouldn't respect him. Yeah, it's quite, you grant my wishes like a genie in a bottle. Okay, so let's move on from the song. Let's move on from the song. So I want you to see what we saw initially with Donovan and Ilana and this song. And the superficialness of what is happening in the world, right? So firstly, it's very superficial. Secondly, it's just simply not going to work, right? Everyone knows that. You know, everyone knows with an expectation like that, you're not even going to get to marriage, right? You're not even going to get there. But even though we say it, we all agree with it, the world doesn't, right? The world has different expectations. And so secondly, the focus of that whole song is just on, not that. The focus on that song is just on the person, the guy singing it. Everything's about him, right? It's nothing to do with the lady on the other side. So, Matthew chapter 19 verse 5 says this. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will live with his wife. The two will become one. So I'm going to walk through our marriage ceremony. I was sharing this last week in the morning service with the married couples. And I said to them, listen, but go and work through these things. Go in every point for point. And obviously, when you're getting married, you agree to these things. But the marriage day is so intense and quick, and thanks, now I can be like T.D. Jakes. Thanks, Dubs. Somebody stop me. Is that a T.D. Jakes line? Not. Who's that? Okay. Forget that. Dubby was going to play the keyboard for me right now. That's T.D. Jakes. What was I saying? Married couples, yes. So go through those points, and you're obviously so excited on the day. There's so much happening, so many people, and you don't really get to think about the stuff that you're saying and the stuff that you're committing to. So I would want to encourage all the married couples to work through this. But even if you're not married and you want to get married, then it's good that there's no time. You start shaping your ideas of marriage from a very young age. So you can't start preparing yourself, you know, too soon. You know, so it would be a very good exercise for you also to work through each point and say, well, let's reshape my expectations. Because I really believe we're a generation with a massive challenge. Because the song that we heard is, you know, those sort of songs have been singing for 30 years. And so our minds have been shaped by the songs that we hear and the movies that we see. So we don't realize, even as believers, how these thoughts and ideas of marriage or, you know, partnership or relationship has crept into our minds and our thinking. And so it's a very good exercise for all of us to go and say, God, come and show me your original plan. Come and show me your plan for marriage, for life. So come and change my heart. And I really want to ask you to say that this afternoon to say, God, change my heart. I want to actually ask us. Let's everyone say, God, come and change my heart and change my mind. Help me to see with my eyes, my mind, and my heart your original design and your plan. In Jesus' name. And so I'm going to quickly go through the statement and I'll pause. Once again, I said to the married couples, at every point, there's a practical implication. So it's very easy to say, in theory, yes, we agree to this. But now, how does it practically mean? And that's where every couple can sit and say, well, let's actually talk about it. Let's see what it means, what it practically implies. When I'm agreeing to this, it means this is how I live. And so I'll touch on some practicalities as I go along. But, of course, there's more and it's more specific to every couple. So, the bond and covenant of marriage was given by God in creation. It is God who says in His Word, we read it just now, Matthew 19, verse 5, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. It is God who instituted marriage. Marriage belongs to God, and husband and wife are responsible to God for their marriage. So firstly, and I mentioned it at the campus talk earlier this week, relationship week, that God is the designer. He's the author. He's the one that started the idea of marriage, right? It's a Christian idea. I shared the example of a couple came to me a while back. They're not believers. In fact, the guy's never been to church before. He's never read the Bible. But they came to us saying, can you marry us? And we'll do marriage preparation course because we know that marriage is a Christian idea. Marriage is from God, right? And so even unbelievers recognize this. Even people that don't know much about God knows it's from God, right? And so we see this in Scripture. God is the author of marriage. Of course, there's lots of practical application to this statement here. And firstly, it's the whole thing of accountability. The next line says, they will have to give an account of the marriage which God has entrusted to them. And so, we all know, as believers, that one day there's going to be a day of reckoning. There's going to be a day of where we give an account of what we have done. And so, of course, for marriages, it's the same. And when it comes to accountability, I always say, well, it's almost like you're going to write like this massive exam at the end of life, this massive test. God's going to ask you about everything. What have you done? What have you done with what I've been given to you? And why did you do what you did? What did you do with your time? What did you do with this? And so it's going to be this exam. And I was sharing a while back how, I saw a vision. Once we had intercession, and God showed me this powerful picture of how it's going to be that day. And I remember so powerfully, I felt such an anxiety on the one side. You know, this is massive. God is massive. God is big. You know, and I'm going to have to, just me, little me, it's going to stand before God. And so I literally felt in this vision, I felt this anxiety almost. But at the same time, I felt this excitement. You know, it's like a graduation time. You know, it's meeting our Maker face to face and you know, speaking to Jesus and knowing that this is the Jesus that spoke to me. You know, this is the Jesus that I heard and that I had relationship with, as Matthew so powerfully illustrated. And so the most important thing is, if you don't get intimacy with God right, you're not going to get marriage right. You might make it, right? We all know of people that make marriage, right? They make it through. But you're not going to have real intimacy. You're not going to have a really blessed relationship if you cannot get intimacy with God right. And why is that the case? It's very simple. See, God is perfect. And I'm imperfect. So one imperfect person and one perfect person is a whole lot easier than two imperfect people trying to have a relationship. You guys with me? Okay? So two people that are imperfect, it's hard. And right, so if we can't get the first one right, and obviously there's a truth even further, when we get that right with God, then things tend to work out in our natural relationships as well. And so marriage belongs to God. God is the author. He's the designer of marriage. And if you want to know how the design works, if you want to go, you want to look at a Ford, you know, you go to the Ford factory, the Ford manufacturers, you go read their manual. And so God is the author of marriage. And so if you want to know what relationship is about, go to God. He's got the answers. Second point, and this is my favorite line. The Christian marriage is not just a legal contract. It is at the same time a spiritual contract called a covenant. Then the husband and the wife and the Lord Jesus are the parties to take part of it. Yes, there are three parties to the Christian marriage: husband, wife, and Jesus of Nazareth, who died in order to save us from our sins. And so, right from the beginning, right on the wedding day, and by the way, I said it's the goal of dating engagement is the wedding day, but I often say, and I so agree with the statement, that it's not the best day, the wedding day, it's only the first day. And it so resonates with me because it's supposed to get better from there. The intimacy is supposed to grow. And so often, especially in our Christian culture, that day is like the massive day, right? But it's just the first one. It's not the best one. There's going to be a better one and many better ones as we grow together. But so this is so powerful because right from the beginning, right from that day, Jesus is part of it. And in fact, I believe it can't really work without Jesus. See, marriage is a three-way covenant. It's not just two people. It's not just two parties. It's three parties: husband, wife, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the practical implication of this is amazing. Because if I can't sort it out, if my wife and me, remember, two imperfect people, we can't sort it out, then there's always the space, and of course, if we have a relationship with God, to go to God, to Jesus. Well, actually, if you don't have a relationship with God, you can still do it. You know, even unbelievers on these days, God's at every wedding. You know, and so God is just waiting for people to cry out to Him. So I believe He will even intervene into those marriages because He's part of those covenants. And so Jesus will always come, I believe, because He's part of the covenant. He will say, well, listen, this is my marriage. This is my marriage. And, you know, I'm gonna intervene and I'm gonna help hearts to connect to each other, right? And so often I've found in my relationship with my wife, there's no ways we're connecting, and then the only way it happens is if we sort it out in prayer, if we independently get to God. So many times I can tell you, you know, things didn't work, and you know we can't seem to get each other. And then I pray something, and she hears exactly what I prayed, you know, and God comes and He helps us come together. That's also an indication of a relationship that is not intended by God, by the way, if you're dating or going out. If God doesn't intervene in that way, right? If you speak to God, say, God, we're not finding each other, and God doesn't come through in a way that the other person hears from God and the connection happens, that is a very strong sign that you must seriously consider the relationship, because God is into every relationship. He loves relationships. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12. And I want you to see the picture of what we just explained. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So this verse, in fact, the previous verse speaks about marriage. It speaks about two people coming together. How can one be warm if he lies alone? But if there's a partner, they can keep each other warm. And so the next verse speaks about their strength together, and it compares it to a threefold strand. And I said last week, when I look at that verse, at a time I was like, why is it three strands? Because it's talking about two people coming together and lying together. But it says, no, threefold cord is not easily broken. And so once again, it paints the picture of husband, wife, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's these three parties that are coming together. Can you put up that picture, Bianca? So on Sunday, we We're going back to the Jamison. That's going to be very exciting again next Sunday. But last Sunday when we were there at the Jamison, the previous time, someone drew a prophetic picture, one of the artists, these prophetic drawings at these events. And they draw this picture. And to me, it's such a powerful picture. I believe it's for the church, but so much so for relationships and for marriages, is this picture of the three branches that are coming together. And so I want you to think about it this way. So, of course, it's important, the three branches together. But I want you also to see that they sort of intertwine. It's like the coming back, you know, the going away and coming back. And so I believe in marriages, this is like an analogy to me about what I see happening in marriages and relationships. There's often times, and constantly times, in fact, where something in us, circumstances or situations or personality clashes, that forces us to go away from one another. Right? And so the temptation would be to say, well, to freak out and to say, well, you know, maybe this person is not for me, or, you know, no, don't panic. Clashes are normal, right? Tension is normal. But what is so important is if you see these you know, branches going away, that is just an opportunity, I believe, when there's sort of a clash or a fight or something, that we're not getting each other, or circumstances pushing us away from one another, then I believe it's an opportunity to choose to come back. Right? Then it's not like a feeling. You know, the big thing about this song that we just heard is it's all about the feeling. You know, and feelings are very unreliable. We cannot base relationships on feeling. It's very easy to do a bit of apologetic about, you know, the fact, the unreliability of feelings. Ask a depressed person. If you go with your feelings, it's going to end up bad, right? And so the best thing for a depressed person to say, don't focus on your feelings. You know, focus on the truth. You know, I've heard testimony over and over and over again where depressed people come out of depression, but because they meditate and declare scripture over themselves. The truth is higher than the feeling. And so if I declare the truth becomes my reality, not my feeling. You know, I stay away from my feeling, you know, and I'm not saying we're cold with God and we don't feel, not by any means, but we're primarily spiritual beings. And then when we focus on the fact that we are spirit, like God is spirit, first, and secondly, emotions come and they just add to life, but emotions are not the steering point of life. So I don't follow my emotions, I follow my spirit. I follow God, right, in His truth. And so we declare the word and this power. But once again, you know, we don't follow the feelings because the feeling would say, just continue to drift, you know, because it's just easier, it's more convenient, right? But then the Christian marriage, this, I believe there's a constant choosing to come back to one another. And then again, circumstances. And again. And so I think the temptation would be sometimes in godly marriages to say, well, you know, maybe if this happens often, you know, maybe something's wrong. And I want to argue and say no. I want to say, you know, it's an opportunity. The more we can choose to come back together. And so if this happens often, you know, it's going to be a strong marriage, right? And so that's the picture, I believe, that God has for us. But the fact that there are three, the fact that on the first day there are the three parties together does not guarantee that the three threads intertwine. But do you see that? It could be just three circles standing next to one another, right? And then it's not that place of blessedness where we're with God and we synergy and strength in our marriage. The third point, marriage is a sign to us of the mystery of the union between Jesus and His church, and Holy Scripture commands that all should hold it in honor. Marriage should be respected and not be tampered with. And so, this is the exciting part about marriage. And this is, you know, amazing. Because marriage works, or relationships works even, you can do this on relationships as well. When we realize, well, it's not about myself. It's about God. It's about His picture. And God uses marriage powerfully in this world for marriages to be the picture. It's a vehicle so that the people can see who God is. It represents the image of God. When two people come together and a family comes together, the world desires that. But so it's a picture of who the world is. And so I believe, and we're going to end off just praying about this, but that song says, you know, I found my cheerleader, right? And I believe that the true marriage is where the individual decides, well, I'm going to be the cheerleader of the other person, right? I'm going to celebrate the other person. I'm going to celebrate their gifting, right? I'm going to celebrate who they are. I'm going to celebrate what God has put in them. And so the focus becomes God, and the focus is not me and my needs. Those marriages don't work, right? You can ask all the people that have been married for a long time. It just doesn't work. You know, people that are married a long time have figured out that it's not about them. You know, they begin to realize, well, it's about the other person. But now the blessed marriage, I believe, is a step further, where we say it's not just about the other person, it's about God being glorified. And this marriage is what God wants to use. And so marriage is amazing, it's blessed, but it's tough, right? It's not easy. And I think sometimes, especially in Christian circles, we create this false expectation that marriage is like the ultimate thing to do, because it's like awesome. This person is going to be amazing. They're going to enhance your calling, you know? You know, two can go so much further, right? And synergy and all these things, right? And of course, it's true. It's scripture. The Bible says, "You find a wife, finds a good thing." You know, it's blessed, but it's only blessed when the focus is on God. When we take off the focus of ourselves and shift it to God, say, "God, you be glorified." Second last point: the union of husband and wife in heart, mind, and body is a gift from God for their mutual joy. And so I'm going to say that again for the guys in the house: the union of husband and wife in heart, mind, and body. Right? Not just the last part. Heart, mind, and body. And so men and women are wired differently, and I can go into this long discussion, but I won't. And so, you know, there's this place where we connect on all three levels. The two will become one flesh, but not just physically, emotionally as well, and also in the heart and the mind. It is given for the companionship, help, and comfort that the one ought to have of the other in prosperity and adversity. It is given that natural instincts and sexual desires bestowed by God should be regarded as holy and hoarded properly. Who was at the sex talk earlier the week? Did you guys enjoy that? Okay. Now, Christian sex should be blessed. Amen. Right? And more blessed. And I believe it is more blessed than the world. Right? And this is like a, you know, it's just a, now it's like awkward in the room. Sort of a discussion. Some of us don't know yet. But the world promises something different, right? The world communicates something different. The world constantly tells us something. But so real intimacy produces real good sex, right? And so we can only find that when we do it God's ways and according to His plan. It is given that they may have children and nurture them in the knowledge and the love of the Lord. And so there's lots of practical application. Let's go to the last point. Therefore, marriage is not to be entered into unadvisedly, without counseling, lightly or merely to satisfy physical desires, but reverently, with discretion and due consideration of the purposes for which it was instituted by God. Those who are called by God to this holy state should continue in mutual faithfulness and love. And so, I want us just to come together and just bring our hearts to God like we started in the worship. So precious when God comes and just speaks to us. And what God spoke to us about is about that intimacy with Him. So we're gonna just minister around that. We're going to ask God to speak into our hearts. And so, like I said earlier, is we can't have intimacy with one another, real intimacy, if we can't have it with God. And this last sentence here says mutual faithfulness and joy. Because some of us aren't even able to continue in mutual faithfulness and joy because we've been scarred, right? Something has happened that has even either distorted our image of what relationship is, what relationship with God is, and we've been hurt by either a relationship that didn't go well, or in our family, in our family setup, or a picture was skewed because we had a bad experience when we were growing up. And so the first step is God needs to restore. God needs to heal, right? And together with that, and these two things can't happen separate, together with that there needs to be a resolve to say, God, but even if I don't feel it, I'm going to still continue, right? Even if I feel, but listen, this thing is going to hurt me. Because did you know real love hurts at times? Where we choose to deny ourselves. Where we choose to esteem the other person more than ourselves. And so for some of us, that decision needs to be made. But listen, I'm going to love, even if it hurts. Because the thing is this, is when we got hurt, we confuse those two feelings, right? We think the moment I deny myself for the other person or for Christ, that is equal to the pain that I felt in a negative experience. But there's two situations. Do you see that? And so God wants to come with his sword. The Bible says that his word comes and it divides soul and spirit, joints and marrows. The word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. God can come in and separate in our hearts and in our spirits. Because sometimes, and especially if you've been in a relationship as a Christian, you were born again, and you crossed the boundaries, your spirit got hurt, right? And so God needs to come and restore. God needs to come and heal. But together with that, a decision to say, God, I'm going to choose to love. I'm going to choose to love you. And if you're not in a relationship, then that's the decision that you make tonight. You say, God, I'm going to choose to love you regardless of anything. And I'm going to practice intimacy, not just because I want to get into a great relationship, but because it's the only thing worth in this life is intimacy with God. Because one day, did you know, in heaven, we're going to worship God. We're going to be intimate with him for eternity. That's not why we're not going to get married. Because we're going to be fulfilled in God. Right? And that's the only place of fulfillment. Even in this life. If you, and I said it earlier this week again at the campus discussions, two half people can't come together and make one whole person. That is not a marriage. That is a mess. I want to say it's suicide. Right? Two broken people coming together. No, God needs to come and make you whole first. If you're already in marriage, then you better come to Christ quickly because he can heal you. But he wants to heal you, but it can't work. If two half people, two broken people want to get together, it's not going to work. That is suicide. Let's go on. So God wants to come and restore us and make us whole and restore our perceptions of relationships as we just surrender to him and submit to him. So let's pray. Band, you guys can come up. Let's just, where you're sitting, just begin to engage with God. Speak to him. Thank you, Lord, that you so loved the world, that you sent your Son to marry us, to love the world. Even that place that while we were still sinners, Lord, Christ died for us. You made the first step towards us. Thank you, Jesus, that you chose to come into a relationship, into a marriage with each of us individually. You chose, Lord, to trust imperfect people with your heart. Jesus, and so many times you make yourself vulnerable and you give us your Son. You give us your Son, Jesus. And Father, then we know what the world that did, but not just the world, we did it, God. We crucified Jesus with our sin. But yet, Jesus, you're still faithful. Your love still remains. You still chose us. You called us. You redeemed us. And so, Father, we know that your love will not be removed from us. Your love will not separate from us. Nothing, in fact, can separate your love from us but ourselves. We can choose to be unfaithful. We can choose to walk out of this marriage. We can choose to walk away and walk into the lusts of this world or even just the ideas in our minds. And so, Father, we ask that you would speak to us right now. Father, we ask that you would redeem us, God. Reconnect us to the Father. Thank you that you restore, Lord. Thank you, God, that you give beauty for ashes. You give the oil of joy instead of mourning. God, where there was destruction, where there was abuse, where there was any sort of evil, you can come and you can make all things new. You can make it beautiful. And so, Father, I pray for every person here, Father, that has been on the receiving end of the thief coming to steal, kill, and destroy, or just any of those. And we thank you for your healing that is in this place, Lord. So I want to ask, while every eye is closed, no matter where you are in your relationship with God, I want you, if you say that you need healing, you need restoration, you need the Father, the embrace of the Father, then I want you to stretch out both your hands to Him and say, God, come and restore, come and heal. Thank you for these, your sons and daughters, God, stretching out to the Father. Feel there's some people that still need to respond. Don't wait for another prompting. You'll know. You'll know because your heart would feel it. God comes and His Holy Spirit works on our hearts. He convicts our hearts, and so you'll feel something. Maybe you can't explain it, but I want you just to go with it. Just to go with that feeling. That feeling says, and it's not about the feeling, it's about God saying, but this is my time. This is my appointment. If there's anyone like that, stretch out both hands to heaven. Say, God, come and restore. Thank you for restoration, God, of the God image, firstly. Thank you for restoration of who you are, the Father. Every experience and every bad experience we nullify now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for restoration. Thank you that you restore our hearts and our minds. Renewal of mind. Holy Spirit, we give you the right of sanctification to sanctify us and to show us and to convict us of evil thoughts and bad ways of thinking. And those patterns, God, we break now every stronghold. We break every pattern. In the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, we say to every spirit of addiction, every evil thing, every assignment against God's holy ones, We say, go away now in the name of Jesus. We say, let God's people go. Every assignment. We cut off your plans, enemy. We cut off your assignments. Every spirit that is against the love of the Father. And I thank you, Father, for vessels that you restore every heart. And like Jesus says, our treasure. We say, God, tonight that our treasure belongs to you, Jesus. We take it back from the world. We take it back from places that we've given out our treasure to someone else or something else or someplace. We thank you that we, by the name of Jesus and the power in Christ, we take it back. We thank you for healing. Can I just ask us all to stand? While we're standing, God is working in your heart, then just come forward. We're going to continue the ministry. I want to actually just ask facilitators to come forward as well. What we're going to do is, if God is doing a work in your heart, don't leave this place until He's finished that work. Of what He's planned for tonight. So if that's you, then just come forward. We're going to pray for you. We're going to trust with you that God would finish that process. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for restoration, a purity of heart, mind, and spirit, that you call your sons and daughters to your throne, to the Father. Restoration. Just get some facilitators to pray. People. So once again, if God is doing something, just go with what He's doing. And so if you don't know what to do, just pray. You want to do that, pray with the person next to you, pray with your husband and wife. So I'm just responding to what God is doing. I'm not walking away until He's done. He's finished that work. And so often in our lives, and I found it myself as well, I run away, I walk away too quickly. God says something, but I haven't allowed Him to go deep. And so tonight God wants to go deep. So don't do it, just do a superficial something, go on with your life and forget about what God wants to do, but allow Him to go deep into your heart. So if that's you, come forward. We're going to just stand with you and trust with you. Someone here, I feel, is in an abusive relationship. And the Lord says, the time is now. You've been asking me. But I want to speak into that tonight. You've been trying to fix it by yourself. The Lord says, He's got the answer. But you've been running around and walking around with a false understanding of God and how He works, because He wants to connect you to His people. And so He wants to, in His chosen, to leave the situation so that He can give you the answer through His people. He wants to have you just humble yourself and say, God, I'm going to trust a fallible person to speak into my life, but I'm going to look not to the person, I'm looking to you. Thank you for what you're doing. If that's you, just respond to God. So Can I ask us just to pray for one another where we're standing? Just bless the person next to you if you feel comfortable with it. If you don't, it's fine. But if God is doing something significant, I want you, both of you, to come out and come stand right here in front. There's something powerful when we come out and we do it before the altar. So if God does something, come out and stand here, and we're going to trust with you, pray with you.